and then you're going to responsively read, and I'll move a little faster as we go along here. For if we have been united with him in the death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in the resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Your turn. Okay, let me just say this. We have certainly been united with him in his resurrection. That's talking about a new life. That's what happens. We are connected with him coming back. You know, he came out of the grave after 3 days. We've all heard that one, right? Well, we are connected with this resurrection into a new life. And that's you, okay? If you are a believer, that's you, that's me. No matter how you have responded since you accepted Jesus Christ, that is a reality that took place. You were different. And now we have the word know in its real form in original language. It's not implied. It is literally there in original. You are to know this. He is telling us no question. This is fundamentally true. This is one of the reasons why group, as you grow in your walk with Jesus Christ, make sure you're in a church that preaches the word. And make sure that you have a good study Bible and are studying the word of God. Because one of the critical items to become the person that God wants you to be is that you know properly. And that's what he's stressing here. Know these truths. And one, he is trying to tell us to know how life is different as a genuine believer. Your life is new. You are identified. You're connected. Old self. That's who you were before you were regenerated, before you accepted Jesus Christ. And it's also the same thought with the body of sin that was part of us. Now, we still have the flesh nature with us, but that old regenerated self is brought to nothing. Isn't that a beautiful truth? You're different now. That's the message they're trying to bring around over and over and over again. And we are to know it. Now, if you haven't really accepted Jesus Christ, then you ought to go back and evaluate, have you really come to know him? But this is critical items that once you really have called upon him to be your Savior, confessing your sins, calling out to him to take over your life, well, then you're different. And you need to remind yourself over, you got to know it. You got to have it up here. You got to have no question that, no, I don't do that anymore. Now, I've had lots of people who profess to be believers, and I have every reason to believe they are believers, say, well, no, I'm sorry, Pastor, you know, I know I get really angry, and I kind of get physical with my wife. You know, I always love the kind of when it gets to this stuff. I kind of get physical with my wife sometimes, and I know that isn't right, but I can't, you know, I just who I am. And I say to you, no, it isn't. That is you operating. If you're really a new believer, offer your memories from the past. But it is no longer you. And you ought not to be doing that. You've got to repent of that and know that no believer is to do this. You get the point? It's really important just knowing where you're at. And stop playing games with your own mind. It's a bad, 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 bad idea. For one who has died, okay, that was aorist tense, one thing, it's already happened, doesn't have to repeat itself, has been set free from sin. Now, that is a beautiful truth. Now, here's the point. If you died with Jesus Christ because you've accepted Jesus Christ, you have been set free from sin. And here's what he's talking about. He's talking about the power that sin once had over you has been already broken by what Jesus Christ did on the cross. That's an important truth. Now, the penalty of sin, even if you have committed some really heinous crime, the penalty from an eternal standpoint has been covered by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, one thing that isn't taking place Yet, it isn't until we are absent from this body and present with the Lord is the presence of sin. You'll still be around it. And if you're foolish enough to go to the wrong places and hang around with the wrong people and do the practices you used to, you'll be very exposed to the presence of that. But you don't do that. It tells us in Scripture multiple times, don't do that. And then I want to come down to this last thought. We will also live with Him. What a blessed truth. Now, it starts to point out what we ought to know here is that we're dead to the old. But one of the critical items is just not try to get your life together so you can keep doing what you used to do but not get into trouble. Ever heard of that logic? Hey, I'm not going to do so much drugs or drinking that I lose my job. I'm not going to do that. But I'm going to do some of this. But I'm not going to do so much that it gets me into trouble. That is addictive thinking, by the way. That's one thing to call it. Addictive thinking. Not biblical thinking. Biblical thinking says, no, I'm not doing that anymore. And instead, I am going to purpose to be a testimony, an ambassador, a one who represents Jesus Christ. And I'm going to make that my emphasis. That's what I'm putting on. Okay, now we're going to read this again. And, we have to pick up and I'll have to be a little fewer in my words. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him, for the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. Please read this. Okay, this dominion, no more. It says dominion will not have dominion on you. Sin will not have control of you anymore. It's not going to run your life. It will not, unless you were just foolish enough to say, oh, I've always done it. I can't help myself. You have to know that he has already run the victory in this area. And no, you don't have to continue to do what you used to do. He has provided a way of escape. I'm just quoting the paraphrasing what it teaches in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. And then he says, he died to sin and he lives to God. Now, here's a critical point. You want to start getting your life together if you're trying to work through this addiction process and all those types of things. Really purpose to live for Jesus. Really purpose to live righteously, to be a blessing. It says, love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord God and have it manifest itself in loving your neighbor. They're to know you by your love for one another. You know what it says? Stop living onto yourself. Say, I don't really, you know, I'm just trying to get through this. I'm a loner and I just want to be left alone. And I really don't like people getting too close to me. Get over yourself. That is selfish thinking and unbiblical thinking and addictive thinking, and say, no, I am going to be an instrument of righteousness. You'll see that come out in the very next verse. Now, before we do this, I want to point out this word that I didn't highlight. So. So is saying, because of what we've learned in the first 10 verses, what we know about how we have died to sin and we're to be alive in Christ and are alive in Christ, so we must consider. Many translations, it talks about reckon. It's consider, reckon. Everybody in here, pay attention. My personal opinion is this verse is the number one reason why people struggle in trying to get their life together. They know the truth. They know it. And they really are thinking that they're going to do this. They're going to put the right things in place. But they never really consider it. They never really embrace it as these truths are absolutely real for me. You get the point? You've got to incorporate it personally and say, you know what? I know what I used to be like. I used to be a loner. I used to swear all the time. I used to do this all the time. I used to do that all the time. And I am no longer this way. I am reckoning that I'm different. And I am going to live the way God is calling me to live, even though I don't always feel like it. We're dead to sin. You've got to consider that. Dead means, first and foremost, The authority of sin has already been eradicated at the cross. But that does not change that he has commanded us to mortify the deeds of the flesh, which are the sinful behaviors. Mortify means, that's what you, a mortuary, you take care of dead bodies. We're supposed to do that type of thinking, that type of behavior. We're to mortify those things and put in place godly thinking. Alive to God in Christ Jesus. By the way, in Christ Jesus, I stress this because Paul does. This is his favorite phrase of talking about how we are to live as a Christian. In Christ Jesus, or in Christ, or in Jesus. It is supposed to be, we're supposed to be immersed in this idea that I am his ambassador. This is my purpose in life. This is what he's called me to do. No matter what else is going on in my life, I'm going to respond in such a way that he's glorified. Now, comes down, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. That, here's the truth. Your enemy is not evil demons. Okay, it's not demons. The number one problem that all of us have is our fleshly self. It's our own passions and desires from within. And we need to say no to them. Whether it be alcohol or drugs or pornography or food or whatever it is, you've got to say, no, I'm going to call that as evil and wrong, and I'm going to control this. I'm going to go God's way in the power of the Spirit, following the teaching of the Word. Okay, now we'll kind of roll through the rest of this here. Do not present your members as sin to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments of righteousness. There it is again. Okay. We're going to, this part right here, this present, isn't the next critical item. It's you to know, it is to consider, and it is to present. Present, we know what that means? It's really talking about us coming right alongside the Lord and saying, here I am. I am going to live for him. I'm going to publicly be different. I am going to present myself. Here I am. I want to do good things instead of bad things. That's what unrighteousness acts are versus righteous acts. Sin has no dominion over you. It does not have control. Even if you have done different things for years. If you've come to Jesus Christ, just look up what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. It's a classic verse for this. And we're not under the law, but under the work of God, grace. You know what grace is? It's God's righteousness at the cost of Jesus Christ. He is the one who paid the price for it. Him doing this for us, even though we don't deserve it. We're all totally sinners, not deserving of his love and grace. Okay, I'm just going to open with a word of prayer at halfway through our service. Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you for this passage. I get excited about how it's power of knowing the truth of what you've already accomplished. A Father, of the importance of us considering and reckoning it, how it does apply to us. Yes. That's me that's talking about. And then we incorporate it in our lives, and then we present ourselves as your ambassadors, as your soldiers, and we purpose to go out of our way to be a blessing to others for your sake. So, Father, help us. Help us, help us, help us, Father, to be the men and women you want us to be, and for this service to be an encouragement to all of us. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, what has it done for us? There are three things. He's given us a new life, it's given us a new nature, and it's given us new freedom. That's to everybody that has genuinely come to know Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to do this almost as a fill-in-the-blank. Forgive me for doing it that manner. But this is important truth. You and I would be very wise to memorize these three truths and just think about them, meditate on them. The fact that I have a new life because I know Jesus Christ. I'm not the person I used to be. I'm changed. changed because of what God has done and what God continues to do. Number two, I have a new nature. My life is different. The way I respond to sin specifically is different because sin no longer has dominion over me. And then you have freedoms. Now, I'm going to just show you very quickly that the first one, you just fill in the blank, it is sin's power is broken. That's a blessed truth. It is broken. You may feel like you've got to do that, but you do not. God has provided a way of escape for everyone who's a genuine believer. You do not have to do what you used to do. You can say, no, Lord, give me help. I'm going to do something different. I'm going a different way. Number two, our sin-loving nature is buried. You will not have, if you're a genuine believer, you will not have pleasure in doing ongoing sin, or you're not a legitimate believer. Because that sin-loving, now, some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you got into the old patterns, you got there, and then you woke up and you said, what am I doing? Why am I doing this to myself? Why am I doing this to my kids? Why am I doing this to my family? That's what I'm talking about. Because you have a new nature. The old nature has been buried. You're not going to have pleasure in that anymore. No longer to be a slave. You are to know that you're no longer enslaved to sin. You got to know this. It may feel like it, but you can't go off of your feelings. You've got to go off of the revealed truth of the Word of God. And then sin power is broken. Sin-loving nature is buried, and you're no longer a slave to sin. Now I'm going on to the next one, the nature. It talks about in chapter 5, you shall certainly be united with him in the resurrection like his. We are Christ-like then. We are in the process. Every genuine believer instantly starts this journey of becoming more Christ-like when they accept Jesus Christ. Now you may look at someone over there and say, well, they are such a godly person. I'm nothing like them. That may be true. But you're headed towards being Christ-like if you're a genuine believer. Because he that has begun a good work in you will not stop it until it is completed. Isn't that a blessed truth? Enjoy your new life in Christ. That is such a critical thing. If you're trying to find victory, you got to get over yourself and start celebrating, saying, you know what, I'm sober. Praise God for that. Amen. You understand what I'm talking about? I'm sober. I woke up this morning. I don't have a hangover. This is a great thing. And I am excited. No, you say, I'm not excited about being here. This is an ugly place to be. I don't like it. I don't like my roommate. I don't like the meals. I don't like. You know, we can go that direction. Every one of us could go that way, no matter where we are in life. But you are not supposed to do that. God says in Philippians chapter 4, I don't have it on here. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Amen? Amen? That means, you know, you just say, no matter what it is, I'm excited about living for Jesus. And then you come to those things that says, oh, no, because I did that, they're repossessed my car, and I still owe all of this money on this car that I, oh, no, what am I going to do with that? And I got child support, and I don't have a job. I'm here for another. This isn't going to work out. This is horrible. He says in the sixth verse of Philippians chapter 4, be careful for nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests be known unto God. And then you get the peace of God. Isn't that a blessed truth? In other words, it's like this, Lord, I want to serve you. Father, I am sick of my old life. I want to serve you. And right now I'm here so that I can get my life cleaned up, my thoughts cleaned up, and so that I can live for you. And help me to live for you even today. And Lord, I just look forward to how you and I are going to walk through this jungle of problems I've created. I'm looking for your help. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And you can get up from your knees and say, wow, okay, I'm not in this alone. Get the point? Okay. Now, you have to, this new nature has everything to do with considering these truths as real. That you're dead to sin and you're alive to God in Christ Jesus. That has to be driving you. So that is why I've said to my congregation, not all of you have been here that many times, or some only this is the first time. Many times I don't sleep a lot, so I wake up kind of odd times. But I wake up and I will say to myself as I open my eyes and I start to recognize, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. What am I going to do now? And I say to myself, you know what? Whatever I do, I want to end this day closer to you than I've ever been. So, Lord, as I go about how many hours it is, help me to just do things one after another that will bring me closer to you so that I can celebrate this growing relationship. And by the way, end the day closer than I've ever been. So I'm holding my hands up and say, praise you, Lord. What a beautiful day this was. What a wonderful sense that I just sense your presence with me at all time. Get my point? Wasting too much time here. Dead to sin and alive to God. Dead to sin, alive to God. And you are to enjoy your new life in Christ. You are to be dead. You have to recognize this and alive. It's dead and alive, the combination. And then it goes on to freedom. Let not sin therefore reign. Dominion. That's that guy concept. You're not going to let it do it. And whoops, I wanted this. Do not let sin control you. You got to confess it. You got to just say, Lord, help me. And you got to get accountability. You've got to put off old people, you know, people that are causing you to go the wrong direction. And then you got to put in its place the right things. I would recommend you might take a look at Ephesians chapter 4, start at verse 25, and it talks about don't be angry, and then it tells you what to do. And it talks to you about using foul language, and it tells you what to put in its place. It talks about being an angry person, and it says instead of being an angry person, be a joyful, thankful person. You get my point? The Scripture tells us what we ought to be putting in our place. Now, present yourselves. Here I am, Lord. Here am I, Lord. Use me. Take me. I'll do what you want me to do. That's what presenting is talking about. You're saying, you know what? I've considered it. I know what you've done for me. I know it. I've considered it. I recognize that it applies to me. And here I am. Use me. Here am I, Lord. Send me. No, I'm just saying, because there's a lot of people here that are either in a recovery program or have recently been in a recovery program or have been through a recovery program themselves at some point in their journey. So we're not talking to any individual here is what I'm trying to point out. But let me tell you, a lot of things in the recovery programs really look ugly. It's just because you get, can I have some private time? Can I have some time alone? Ever felt that way? You know, you say, I can't handle this. Yes, you can. But you know what? You could never be in a better place to have constant opportunities to be used to the Lord, to be encouragement to others. Every minute you can have an opportunity to find someone else who's really down and just encourage them. And pray with them. And just be present and say, you know what, you can get through this. Encourage. You're being an instrument of righteousness as you do. Give yourself completely to God. Now, the completely is a key word. It is because this partial, I'm going to give God this, but I'm holding on to this, is an often cause of real disaster. You got to give it over. It's all yours, Lord. Even my messed up marriage is yours. Even the fact that I have all these criminal things I got to deal with, they're yours. I'm completely yours, Lord, and I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to do right. I'm just going to go forward and let you work out the details. You know, that's the problem, is we keep ourselves on the throne. Embrace God's freedom and grace. Sin will no longer have dominion. You're under grace, praise God. Choose to obey. It's so simple, isn't it? Obey. You know what I teach my kids, and I teach now my grandkids, at least I mention it to them. My kids are teaching their kids, but I say this to them about obedience. Obedience is doing what you're told, when you're told, with the right heart attitude. It isn't just doing the right thing. You ever seen how you come out of this thing and you're kind of grumpy and you say, all right, I know I have to do this. Well, you're not being obedient when you do that because you didn't do it the right attitude. And you surely aren't obedient. You say, do that over there. Get that cleaned up over there. I don't want to do it. Okay, I'll go over there. I don't want to do it, but I don't want to. But that isn't obedience, not biblical obedience. Biblical obedience is complete. It is doing it with saying, thank you. I'll do that. I'll be glad to do that. It's not a question of whether it was my fault or what. No, it's not that issue. If the person is in authority over you and they ask you to do it, and you do it with a right heart attitude, and you do it right now. Amen? Simple as that. Do not let sin control you. Completely give yourself over to the Lord and embrace God's freedom. Live in the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is, you know, that type of thing. It's just getting your heart right with Him. Choose to obey. Now, here are the three key items. There's six of them, actually. What has God done for you? He has given you a new life. What has God given us? A new nature. And He has given us new freedom. That's why I put it in yellow. I spent the ink so that everyone would see it in the bold here. What does God expect of us? He expects us to know what He teaches in His Word. And if you don't know it, start learning it. And He expects us to consider or reckon truths that they apply to us. It isn't just academic. It really applies to my life. And I got to consider it and do it. And then present yourself. Here I am, Lord. Send me. If you do this, and you do it repetitively and consistently, you know, we trip up. We all trip up. Nobody's doing it perfectly. But if you will have that be defining the way you're living life, it'll go well for you. I don't have time to go through the latter part, so forgive me. Zoom. We're going to celebrate the Lord's table. So I'm going to ask the deacons to come forward and help me with this.